podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
It's like everywhere I turn. Can you go ahead and put my lead PowerPoint slide up? The intro, there you go. Everywhere I go, over the last couple of months, everywhere I go, the word awaken or awakening is showing up. Like, even in the Peachtree City Bible, for those of you that are on Facebook, like, what? In a community, awakening services, awakening this, awakening that. I'm like, okay, well, somebody in Peachtree City is awakening. That's a good thing. But I began to watch this several months ago, and it's like everywhere I'm turning around, the word awakening is popping up. Pastor Gilbert comes back from his ALT meetings talking about an awakening at MFI. He comes back and he says, let's call the services with Pastor Frank awakening services. I looked at him and I'm like, awakening services? I said, PG, that's like the favorite word of what's going on. And you know, when you begin to hear that word and you begin to hear that phrase and you begin to see that, all of a sudden we have to tune ourselves. The Lord is speaking. Who's listening? Who is tuning their ears to hear by the Spirit of the Lord? So we're in Portland. I went to Portland last month with the team. They're talking about awakening. Awakenings on around the world. Awakenings on the West Coast, the East Coast. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm getting it. Last weekend, I was in a women's conference in Virginia. I was preaching a women's conference there and preached at an MFI church last Sunday morning. Awakening. The pastor's wife steps up in the very beginning and says, there's an awakening going across the land. And I'm like, wow. All right, God, what is it you're trying to awaken us to? We're getting the word. We're getting the word awaken and awakening. What are you trying to awaken us to? And then the Lord began to speak to me. She steps up and says, out of Nehemiah, she brought up a scripture as we began the women's conference, and it's like, the voice of the shofar is calling people to a time of war. And so the conference was about warring and being warrior brides, right? And so I'm sitting there going, as soon as she said that, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. That's not the only voice that the shofar has. And I'm like, what? That's an odd thing for me to, that's, and then immediately I go, no. In the Jewish wedding ceremony, the shofar is blown to announce that the groom is coming. It announces, and the Lord said, oh, and there's more than that. So I was so stirred up. I got to be honest. I was so stirred up. At the end of preaching last Sunday, they're like, you know, we're going to take you to lunch. We'd like to take you to this art show and all that. Well, I was starving, so I said yes to lunch. But I said no to the art show. Yeah, I know. It's all about food. I hate it. It is. Praise the Lord. But I said no to the art show, and they're like, what? This is a community little thing. You're going to love it. And I'm like, I just need some time. Because I was so stirred up. I didn't say to them, the Lord's stirring in me. I just need time by myself. And Pastor Buddy looked at me and he said, PK, you're going to be sitting at the airport 3.5 hours by yourself. And I'm like, oh, I won't be by myself. Come on, somebody. When the Spirit of the Lord starts, like, I had to find myself. I'm walking, like, it's crowded in Raleigh-Durham on a Sunday afternoon. Like, what are y'all doing here? I need some time by myself. What y'all doing here? So I'm going. I'm looking for a seat away from everybody. And then people start to come, and they start to come. I'm like, excuse me. Like, you need to go away. This is not where you can come. I'm in a time with the Lord. You need to move. But I was thinking it. But praise the Lord. So anyway, I get home, and while I'm there, I hear I already had a message sculpted for today when Pastor Gilbert asked me 2 weeks ago. I got another skeleton rolling. But after last Sunday, when I left and the Lord began to deal with me about the voice of the shofar, I had to go and get alone, and I started studying it. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, yes, 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 yes. Like, so excited about the word of the Lord. So my daughter calls me on Monday, and she's like, Mom, like, so what are you going to preach on Sunday morning? The voice of the shofar. Hello, sis? Interesting topic, Mom. Thank you, darling, for that vote of encouragement. But I believe by the Spirit of the Lord this morning that He wants to speak to us about the voices that a shofar brings. And they're sounding, those voices are sounding in this last hour. They're sounding across the nations for those who have ears to hear by the Spirit of the Lord. I want us to look at that this morning. So will you pray with me? Father, we just come before you right now. And Father, you would clear away the dead space in our ears. For Lord, you have a word to communicate to us. I'm the us group, God. Speak, Father, for your children are listening. Let any distraction be pulled from us. Any wandering be pulled from us. Let us settle down that you would speak to us clearly. And then, Lord, turn us upside down. Lord, we don't want to leave this place in the same way we came. We want to be able to say that we have heard the voice of the shofar, that you're blowing across, and Lord, that it would not miss us. And so, Father, come and speak, for your children are listening. Amen. 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 So when you look at Revelation 3 and 22, I want to show it to you out of three different translations. You know how I like to look at different translations. If you have ears, which of course we all do, if you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. So we know we have physical ears. What John is trying to say here is, if you've got spiritual ears, listen. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Here it is out of the Voice translation. Let the person who is able to hear. Sometimes we get in a place where the Holy Spirit's not speaking as clearly. And I'll be telling you the truth. Like, it's not Him that's not speaking. We're not listening as clearly. Come on now. He's always speaking, isn't He? Let the person who is able to hear. That means clean your own stuff up so you can hear by the Spirit of the Lord. Let the person who is able to hear listen to and follow. That's a step beyond just listening. That's a step beyond just hearing. Listen and follow what the Spirit is proclaiming to the churches. And then look at the Passion Translation. The one whose heart is open. See, there it is. When we can't hear by the Spirit of the Lord, there's an indication in us that our heart is not open. All of a sudden, things have happened that have maybe caused our heart not to be able to hear properly. Now, in the natural, what we see is sometimes there's a blockage. Right? Blood vessels begin to get filled and clogged with things that they don't need to. Now, if we can hear the symptoms, if we can hear the voice of a doctor, we can get in, get some stents in, open that up, and immediately the heart begins to respond. Right? Immediately the heart begins to respond. But there are symptoms that lead up to our saying yes to want to have that heart opened up again. And I believe by the Spirit of the Lord this morning that there are people in here who may, some part of your heart may have gotten burdened. There is life. Life happens. Our hearts can begin to get in a place where it is hardened to the things of the Lord. And I believe the Lord wants to come this morning and open those things up. He wants to put a stent where stents are needed. He wants to put bypass where bypass is needed. Because if we can't hear in this hour by the Spirit of the Lord, oh my gosh, we will miss Him in this hour, and we want to be ready. We want to make ourselves ready. The groom is coming. Awaken, the Spirit of the Lord says. Right? So let's talk about what a shofar is. Let me just do some of the logistical things. I said to somebody this morning, talking on the shofar, and they're like, what? A what? So this is actually a shofar, and it is the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and it may not be constructed of any artificial material. It actually, if you're going to get a real shofar, it needs to be no fake stuff. That'll preach right there, right? Because it is symbolic of the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, there ain't no fake stuff coming out of the voice of God. It must be an instrument in its natural form, naturally hollowed, through whom sound is produced by human breath, which God breathes in to humans. Now, the Jewish people believe that when you hear the voice of the shofar, that actually it is the voice of God symbolically speaking to them. Well, God's not blowing it, a human is, but they believe that God has placed His breath in our lungs. Come on, somebody. And out of the breath of God that's in our lungs, we make a proclamation that declares the sound of God. We make a proclamation. And then the most desirable one is the one that's bent. For it reminds us of Abraham's willing sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice that that was most precious. See, some of the Jewish believers see that in this place where it is bent more, like deep bending. Look at it. They believe that the curve actually mirrors the contrition, the sorrow, the apology of a sin life. They believe that the bowing down, that the shofar should actually symbolize a bowing down, a turning away from, a putting those things, like getting on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry that I have sinned against you. And so what they're looking for is they're looking for one that has a deep curve in it because it symbolizes repentance. The purpose of the shofar in the Jewish culture, they realize that there are three major trumpets or shofars that they recognize. The first trump, or the first blow of the shofar that they really put emphasis on, is the one that was blown by God in the Feast of Pentecost when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai out of Exodus. You know that one. The last trump is associated and is blown on Rosh Hashanah. Now, we have just come out of that feast. Rosh Hashanah would have been the 29th of September to October 1st, so we are just a month away from that. But during Rosh Hashanah, when they blow the shofar, they get up. They feel like it's the most important thing they do during those festival days. They get up in the morning. They blow the shofar because it is an awakening unto repentance. Rosh Hashanah is their time every year where they come back to and they get back into and look at and examine their own lives and get to a place of total repentance before the Lord. It is a call to repent. Now, the great trump is associated with and is blown on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. That's the one that is coming up for us. The spiritual significance of the shofar is that it releases the symbolic voice of God. Look at what Robert Wagner says. We are waking up our spirituality to return to God and to actually cleanse ourselves in preparation for His return. It's not, God, I want to awaken to you and I hope everybody at New City Church is going to cleanse themselves. Because sometimes when we start thinking about repentance, we're hoping everybody else is doing a good job because we're kind of like, we're good. I hadn't killed anybody lately. Hadn't committed adultery lately. I ain't stole nothing lately. So ain't too much to be repentant. Let me tell you what. How about bitterness? How about unforgiveness? How about jealousy, rage, envy? Those are deep things that are contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. But we've gotten to a place where we just say a few little abba-dabbas and our sins are all cleared up. God's bringing us back to a place of true repentance where we walk away from those things. We walk away from those things. Repentance is not just walking away. It is walking away and walking to something else. We're walking away from our sin nature and walking to a God that can keep us from that sin nature. Come on, somebody. And you know, if we're not careful, we can begin to drift. You ever been on a raft in the ocean? Just out there drifting, having a big time, just, you know, making connection. I'm out there laughing, cutting up, splashing people, looking for a shark. I'm scared of sharks. You are too, Zach? Okay, darling. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a shark. Pastor Mona's not afraid of snakes in the water. Neither is Jaquita, but I'm afraid of sharks. But praise the Lord. And then you kind of look up and all of a sudden, man, you're not in the place where you were. Ever been there? It's like, my condo's way down there. Now, I didn't intentionally mean to get there. Come on, listen by the Spirit of the Lord. Put your ears up. I didn't intend to drift. I didn't intend to drift. I didn't intend to get over to this place in sin. I didn't intend to. But all of a sudden, you wake up and the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with you, and you hear the voice of the shofar say, awaken, awaken, awaken to a spirit of repentance in you again, and you're like, oh my God, let me swim back over here to this condo because that's where the lifeline is. Let me get back over there because that's where the lifeline is. So what are some of the voices of the shofar? I found 14 in my research. I'm only going to give you 7 this morning. The shofar is to be blown at the time of the gathering of the exiles around the world. Come on. We're going to hear the sound of the shofar, church. The sound of the shofar was a signal to assemble for war. The shofar was a continual reminder to all the Israelites of Isaac's near sacrifice by Abraham. Now remember, God provided the ram in the thicket. They don't see the story like we do. How about Jesus was our ram in the thicket? We all deserve death, but God provided Jesus Christ. He was the ram in the thicket. So when they blow the shofar, they're thanking God for the story. We're thanking God for Jesus. Come on, we're thanking God for Jesus. You can do better than that. Woo! The shofar is a constant reminder that God is sovereign. The shofar, the blow of the shofar, the voice of the shofar, was a signal for the call of repentance. The shofar is to sound forth at the advent of the Messiah. Now, the Jewish people believe that Jesus is still coming. They're looking for the first advent. We as believers know that Jesus has come. We are listening for the sound of the shofar to announce the second advent. And we're going to talk about that one in just a minute. And then the shofar is to be used to usher in the day of the Lord. Where do we see the word shofar mentioned in the Bible? Joshua 6 and 5. And when they make a long sound of jubilee with the horn or the shofar, so that ye, now you know which translation I'm reading from, so that ye hear the voice of the shofar, all the people will shout with a great shout. Why? Because they know that the shofar means war. It means victory. It means the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is here, and they'll shout with great victory. Job 39, for the blast of the shofar fill him with courage. We're going to hear a shofar in a minute. If you need any courage, I'm going to tell you, when you hear the sounding of the shofar today, grab it. Grab it. Like, sometimes we need courage to stand against our sin issues. We need courage to stand up and be a voice to our community. We need courage to be able to speak truth when compromise is well accepted. We need courage in this last hour. Psalm 150, praise him with the sound of the shofar. Jeremiah 4 and 19, oh my soul, the sound of the shofar, the alarm of war. And then look at Nehemiah 4 and 22 out of the Jubilee Bible. In whatever place that you hear the voice of the shofar, the grocery store, the workplace, your family Thanksgiving dinner, whoop, whoop, whoop. In whatever place you hear the voice of the shofar, join us there, for our God will fight for us. You ain't got to fight at Thanksgiving dinner. The Lord's fighting ahead of you. What we got to do is stay in tight with the Lord. We have to be able to learn his strategy. See, we got to be able to learn what he says about loving our family unconditionally. That'll stop some of it. The Lord is fighting for us because we know who he is and we know his word. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to shift gears for a minute, and then we're going to come back to. I want to shift gears and historically walk through what a Jewish wedding ceremony would look like. And then I want to bring that back to a place of, we are going to hear the shofar in that for us. Well, like, Pastor Kathy, I'm not in a Jewish wedding. No, but the Bible is full of symbolism. I want you to watch this. Blew me away. So God frequently used the marriage ceremony to teach about himself. There's a lot we see about who God is, his nature, his purpose, his ways in the ceremony. So the Jewish ceremony actually has three parts. The first part of the ceremony is called the arrangement phase. Now, if you haven't been really tuning your ears up and listening by the Spirit, dial them in, like really tight right here. The Jewish ceremony begins with the arrangement phase. This was the responsibility of the father to seek a bride for his son. Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us that even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be in him. God's looking out and choosing a bride for the son in that arrangement phase. That's us, church. That's us, church. Come on, he's looking for, we become the bride of Christ. He looked out, he saw you, he said, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. I'll take that one, and that one. I'll take them, and they will become a bride for my son. The next phase is the betrothal phase, or the preparation. It's a physical purification. But let me tell you what happens. So at this ceremony, this betrothal phase, there's actually a gathering, like we have our celebration after the wedding. And at that point, the groom pours a glass of wine. What do we think about with communion? the wine, the blood that was poured out. Listen, by the Spirit, he takes a cup of wine, offers it to the intended bride. His blood, he offers it to us. Come on, somebody, listen carefully. He offers that to us. When the bride says yes, the marriage is already complete, because at that point she becomes his bride. He offers, she says yes. Now, in the Jewish culture, that is law abiding. That can only be broken by death or divorce at that point. Although there is no coming together, as we say. But at that point, when she says yes, she has become the bride already. Following the bride's yes, the groom goes away for over a year. There's a designated time. He goes back to the place of his father to actually build a home for himself and his new bride. He goes back to prepare a place. Oh, anybody heard that before? He goes back to prepare a place because already he is married to the bride. She said yes. He goes to prepare a place for over a year. He either prepares his own place or he adds rooms to his father's house. For in my father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that. Come on, somebody, listen up. So he goes to make preparation, and a year goes by. Immediately the groom's off building, the bride begins a ceremonial process of washing. She said yes. The next thing she does is she begins to wash herself and purify herself. We see that as water baptism. Come on. She begins to wash herself, purify herself. And then she begins to make her wedding garments. She begins to sew and put them together. She picks the finest linen. She picks the finest white. And she begins to make those. And she watches over them that they do not get soiled. Because I am coming for a bride who is spotless. So she begins to watch over those things. She hangs them. She presses. She watches for a year. Why a year? Because a year it takes to at least build something. But in a year, if she was pregnant by another, she would give birth and the marriage would be nullified. Jesus, help us. Right? So she undergoes the ceremonial washing and she begins to prepare her garments. Why? Because she knows he's coming. She knows he's coming. She doesn't know within a 12-month window, because it would be a year, in and around a year. You shall not know the day nor the hour, but you will know the season. Ye shall be as the sons of Issachar, discerning the seasons of the times. But we have to be able to hear. We have to believe that he is coming. With all intention and purpose, she was already married. She prepared herself. She made the garment spotless. She got set ready to watch. She watched and she was ready. The closer it got to the year coming, the more she watched. Can you feel like she might not even want to sleep at night? Because she knows, hey, 12 months are coming up. Let me get up, get myself ready. Because he's coming. There's an awakening coming across the land. Let us be prepared. So the third phase is called the celebration phase. Oh, my goodness. So the final phase, when the Father releases the Son, not when the Son wants to come, when the Father says it's okay for you to go and fetch that little girl. Guess what the Greek word is? Nasa. N-A-S-A. Nasa. It means to be carried off or lifted up. So when the Father says, go fetch your bride, he comes and he snatches her away. He lifts her up out of that place where she's been waiting. And he takes her back to the place for which he has prepared for her. Come on, somebody, he's coming. Look at your neighbor and say, he's coming. He's coming. The question is, am I prepared for the coming? The question is, have I made myself ready? We can hope everybody else is making themselves ready, but have I made myself ready? Because he's coming. Now let's look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Let me put you, that was the journey, very quickly, hours of time. Very quickly, let's sit this in the context of the scripture, Matthew 25, out of the Voice translation. So picture this. The kingdom of heaven is this way. It will be like 10 bridesmaids who picked up a lantern and went away to meet a certain bridegroom. Five of these women were sensible, good with details, remembered, hey, I got to prepare. Because, you know, long in about a year, the bride gathered her bridesmaids, and she's like, look, we're approaching that 12-month period. We got to get ourselves ready. So they're like, hey, all right, you got your wedding gowns. They're spotless. They're pure. You got yourself washed. You're good to go. Let us get our little light. We're going to get ready. There's a preparation. So they brought their own oil. They're ready to go. But five of them were flighty, too caught up in the excitement of their journey, and forgot to bring the oil with them. Forgot to be prepared. Forgot that there's a preparation phase that is required. Come on, somebody. Let's not forget Jesus is coming. Let's not be so concerned with the affairs of the world that we drift to a place and our heart become hardened and we forget that he's coming and we miss it. God help us. The bridegroom did not come right away. He did not come. He did not turn up right away. Indeed, all the women, while waiting, found themselves falling asleep. Now, come on, Pastor Kathy, we got to sleep. Yes, you got to sleep. Why didn't he come in a year? Why didn't he come when he was supposed to come? Because the Lord is waiting for everyone. He's giving longer an opportunity. It is the heart of the Lord that none should perish. I don't care what we see. Lord, don't you see all that's going on? Don't you see? He said to me, are you joking? Yes, I see. But my heart is that none would perish. The Lord tarries for that last one. The Lord tarries for that last one. But while they were waiting, they fell asleep. All of them. And then in the middle of the night, they heard someone call, the bridegroom is coming. Finally, wake up and greet him. What happens on the groom's side is that the father goes, guess what? It's time. Now, normally, he released them right after midnight in the dark hours. When everybody else says it's dark, it's time to sleep. And the father says, now, go get the bride. While everybody's asleep, let's see who will listen even in the still of the dark. Let's see who can hear. So in a far off place, all of a sudden they begin to hear the voice of the shofar. The bridal party with the groom begins to blow the shofars. They begin to announce, he's coming. He's coming. And those bridesmaids were there. The ones that could listen sovereignly in the night were saying, do you hear a faint sound? Is anybody hearing a faint sound? Maybe like you hear a faint sound. Have you ever been that way, church, where you're driving along and all of a sudden you hear a siren? And I'm like, is that a siren I'm hearing? Come on, work with me right here. That faint little sound. And all of a sudden, I don't know about you, I begin to look in the rearview mirror. I'm looking around and it gets louder. And it gets like, because I'm preparing what I got to do, which side of the road I got to go to, where am I going to move? I'm already beginning to prepare at the faintest sound of the siren. Come on. So they're all in a room together, and the groomsmen are beginning to release the voice of the shofar. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And all of a sudden, they wake up. You know the story. They wake up. The women got up. Trim their wicks. All of a sudden, now they're all preparing. Five of them didn't want to prepare ahead of time. But now all of a sudden they hear the sound and now they want to prepare. Ooh, watch this. The five women who had no oil turned to their friends. Please give us some of your oil. Our lanterns are flickering. But the five women who'd come, what's the word there? Prepared. They prepared themselves. Come on, watch that. So five didn't want to prepare. They're all caught up in the events of the world. Coming? Maybe. When we get here, we'll worry about it. When it finally happens, like I know the church has been talking about a trumpet sound. And when I finally hear it, I'll get myself ready. Really? Might be the wrong time to be worrying about preparation when we hear the trumpet sound. So the prepared bridesmaids, if we give you some of our oil, we might run out. You need a little bit of my Jesus? Nope. Salvation is between every one of us. You had an opportunity to get yourself saved. Listen, there are plenty of people in the church that go to church out of ritualistic habit or their mamas make them, and they're not saved. How do I know that? It happened last weekend. Somebody got saved, and Pastor Buddy was like, now, wait a minute. She's been coming to this church for years, and what do you mean she just got saved? She just got saved. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is different than coming and sitting on the seat of a church. And until you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't hear the sound of the shofar saying, he's coming. Awaken, the bridegroom is coming. You better get up. Go see if you can find somebody to get you saved right quick. Well, I mean, it says dealer of oil, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So the five ill-prepared women went to search for oil to buy, and while they were gone, the groom arrived. While they were gone, while they're out trying to fix themselves now, because all of a sudden everybody's awake, and oh, I hear the sound, and oh, you heard the sound, now let me get over here and get myself fixed. No, 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 we came to this place of preparation before the night came. The five who stood ready and their lanterns accompanied them into the wedding party, and after they arrived, say it, church. What does it say? The door was shut. Say it again. So 50% of them have gone into the wedding ceremony now, and the door is closed. Finally, the rest of the women, now they didn't have time to get over here and get their stuff, because all of a sudden they're in a panic. Like, Grandma told me this was going to happen. Pastor Gilbert told me this was going to happen. My life group leader told me this. Let me go. Hey, wait. Woo, wait. What'd you shut that door for? Hey, let me in. And what did the master say? What did the bridegroom say? I certainly don't know you. That's Bible. I did not make that up. That is Bible. I cut and pasted. So New City Church, look at verse 13 as if it was said to New. So New City Church, stay awake. Don't be slumbering and don't make excuses for not being prepared. Right? The sound of the shofar is blowing. Let's wake up. If the word awaken is all over the place, we better be awakening to something. For you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. Revelation 11 and 15 talks about a final blast. The seventh angel sounded his shofar, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will rule forever and ever and ever. That shofar will announce the reality of the things we've hoped for. That which belongs to us. Heaven. Eternal life with God. Eternal life in a family that belongs to him. The celebration phase of all that we've hoped for and believed for. Right there at that voice of the shofar. It will announce the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. It's coming. It's sounding. The faint sound of a siren in your ear. Can you hear it, church? So, Pastor Kathy, what do we do to prepare? What do we do? It's exactly what I'm going to read them to you, just like the Lord gave it to me. Increased word equals increased awareness. You want to hear the sound? You want to be ready to hear the sound? You want to hear the voice of the shofar? Get in the word of the Lord. Because you will become tuned to his sound. Increased word equals increased awareness of the voice of God in the areas where repentance is needed. God resists the proud. Can't walk in repentance, he resists the proud, puts his hand down. No. Increased prayer, increased fellowship with God, and the planning of strategies for our daily victory to stubbornly refuse to return to our past. Increased worship equals increased submission to God's perfect will. The more we worship, we hear the sound better. Increased accountability. How many of you know we need accountability in this last hour? Increased accountability. You need people. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need each other to be able to say, hey, are you hearing the sound? Hey, have you heard the sound? Did you hear the sound? Did you see the coffee shop that's called The Awakening? Did you hear the sound? No, but I want to. Let's not wait till the door is shut and then be hoping we can get some accountability around here. Increased holiness. What does repentance lead us to? Holiness. God is a holy God. He is breathing that into. We can't make excuses for our sin lives any longer. Increased holiness equals increased victory. Increased preparation equals increased anticipation. He's coming, church. He's coming. He's coming. If you don't believe anything else I said this morning, you better grab that one. You better ask the Lord to tune your ear to the voice of the shofar that says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not just a little cute prayer of repentance, but a deep inward look, an introspective look into your own heart. Where are the things in your own heart that are offensive to the Spirit of the Lord? And if you don't have any, come lay hands on me. I need it. The bride who has prepared herself, kept her garments spotless during a time of waiting. Are we that vigilant? Are we that vigilant this day, church? Now look at the heart of God out of Joel 2. And so the Lord says, I just cried. The Lord said, it isn't too late. Right now, it isn't too late. Come on, worship team. It isn't too late. It isn't too late. Maybe you're sitting here going, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what my life's like. I know what my life was like. I absolutely do. But listen to the voice of the Lord. This is the voice of a shofar blowing, right? They believe that the voice of the shofar is the voice of the Lord said, I didn't say this. The Lord said, it isn't too late. You can still return to me with some of your heart. What does it say, church? All of your heart. See, the Lord's crying out. He's saying this morning, listen. Because it says, when you say return to me, that means to me that at a time you were with the Lord. Maybe you're in a place this morning where you've drifted. And you're away from the Lord. You're in a place of backslidden. I was there. 12 years. I get it. But maybe this morning you would say, you know what, Pastor Kathy? I realized I've been coming to church all these years. And I've been doing the stuff kind of like, you know, I got my little lantern. But I don't really have a relationship in my heart. I've never given him all of my heart and made him the Lord of my life. See, if you haven't done that, the door will shut and it will be too late to do it. But today, you have an opportunity. Would you close your eyes and bow your head for just 1 minute? Anybody across this room, you can look at your own heart right now, church. I'm not asking if you've come to church every Sunday. I'm not asking if you've been kind. I'm asking you right now, in a sovereign moment before the Lord, is he the Lord of your life? Have you made him your Savior? Have you given all of your heart to him? Or maybe you're backslidden and you want to say, Pastor Kathy, I need to come home. Can I come home? Can I come home? Can I come home? And I hear the Lord saying, come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. So if you need to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, or you need to come home, would you lift your hand anywhere in this auditorium this morning? Anywhere. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. I see that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can you put that sinner's prayer up for me? Can you stand, church? You just had people get saved in here this morning. Can you clap your hands? Can you clap your hands? And for those of you that raised your hands, at the end of the service, I want you to come and see Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Vicky. Can you hold your hands up? I want you to come and see them. But right now, in a place, maybe you didn't want to raise your hand, but you know you're away from the Lord. You've drifted. I want us to make this confession again. We're going to read it together. I'm not going to read and you're going to echo. Let's read it together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner. And I repent for my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Today I have been made new. And from this day forward. Amen. Amen. So maybe you didn't have the courage to raise your hand. But what I want you to do is I want you at the end of the service to see Pastor Rodney and Pastor Vicky. Secure that. Let somebody pray. You know, we talked about accountability. Let somebody pray with you right there. And here's how I heard the Lord say, let's end this service. Two calls today, church. Two calls. The first voice of the shofar that I want us to respond to this morning is the voice of the shofar to war. Right? To war. Let me read you this slide. Coming out of Joel 2 and 1, blow the trumpet or the shofar in Zion, the church. Blow the shofar in the church, the assembly. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Now, in a minute, you're going to hear the voice of the shofar. What I want you to do, and you don't have to stay in your seat. You can move. This is a free place. It's a free building. You're willing to move, walk, shout. I want you to begin after the shofar releases. You're going to hear the voice of the shofar. Let it call you to a place of war. And what I want you to do is after it's over, we're going to begin to sing. The worship team's going to begin to sing. I want you to begin to war for your families. I want you to war for your health. I want you to war for your finances, our nation, our government. I want you to war for unsaved people all across the earth. And then here's what the Lord told me over and over and over again. Tell them to war for their own souls. A place in your mind, a place in your heart where God's not the ruler and reigner of it. You're giving yourself, you're giving your mind, you're being distracted by sin things and things that are pulling you, drifting. This is a sovereign moment before the Lord. Sovereign. So at the sound of the shofar, I want it to rise up in you. I will fight for my family. I will fight for unsaved. I will war for my own soul. Let's listen to the sound of the shofar. Father, we thank you for that. Come on, say thank you, Father. Second voice to respond to this morning. The voice of the shofar to awaken unto repentance. I believe that's going loud across the nations right now. I want to show you two passages right quick. You know them well. David wrote both of them. Murderer. Adulterer, liar, a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he knew what it was to repent. See, God resists the proud. It takes humility to be able to repent with all sincerity before the Lord, for you to look inside and say, God, show me the wickedness of my own heart, not the wickedness of this nation, oh God, but the wickedness in my own heart. Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out, that means completely remove the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Church, when's the last time you could say your sin issues were haunting you day and night? David recognized them. It is against you, O God, and you alone have I sinned, for I have done evil in your sight. But look at what David writes in Psalm 32. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. Look at it, church. And I groaned all day long. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion unto the Lord. And you forgave me. All of my guilt is gone. He forgave after the confession. Now listen, church. Listen, you're going to hear the sound of the shofar again. Remember I told you that the shofars that they value most are the ones with the deepest bends in them. What does that show? The bendability to say, God, don't let me stand up and act proud about my sin. Let me bring it low. So I encourage you, there's plenty of corners, there's chairs, you can get on your knees, you do whatever. But this is a time right now, church, but not some fancy kind of worship. This is a time right now for you to look inside your own heart. Holy Spirit, show us, because we don't know our heart. Show me where there's any wicked way against the Spirit of the Lord, and let me repent. Because when repentance comes, then the Spirit of joy is released. Then the Spirit of joy. Listen to the voice of the shofar again, and then prepare for your place. Church, this is your time with the Lord now. Bend it low. Bend it low. Just like the shofar. This is you and God right now.
Holy.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week. Thank you.